I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're back in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia live today from Robbie's Bar and Grill in the North Greece Plaza. Looking forward to seeing you out here this afternoon to start your sports weekend that gets kicked off tonight. We've got Amherst hockey on ESPN Rochester, as Gino mentioned, in Sports Center. We've also got a Sabres game tonight at KeyBank Center with Joel Quenneville. And the Florida Panthers coming to town. Let's talk to Lance Lisowski, one of our regulars. Lance Lisowski from the Buffalo News covering the Sabres with the latest happening with the Buffalo Sabres. And Lance, it was last week, right before the start of the season. The world looks a little bit different now when you view it through the lens of a 3-0-1 Sabres team. Lance, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me. I think that I am not the only one who is a bit surprised by how this team has performed. I thought they were going to have a slow start, much like the Florida Panthers have under Joel Quenneville, because there are a number of challenges when you are a head coach. You don't have a whole lot of time during training camp to install your systems and really get all of your personnel on the ice together at the same time. But Ralph Kruger's really pulled it together, and let's see if they can sort of sustain this here.
Do you buy into the narrative? We've heard this from various sources that one of the reasons for the quick start here is that the Sabres have been unshackled in a way. The system is a little more loose under Ralph Kruger, and that's allowing for players just to relax and let their instincts take over. Is that accurate, Lance?
Yeah, that's what they keep saying. It sounds like they almost felt robotic, particularly in the offensive zone when they were playing with for Phil Housley. Now, of course, Ralph Kruger is not just sending them over the boards and saying, you know, go have fun. I mean, there are concepts, there are principles, there is a system in place, especially defensively, and they are experiencing some growing pains in that respect. But it's just simple things. Like, look at how great their power play has been, and it's simply just puck movement, and there's less structure in that respect. It's moving the puck, it's getting your players moving around a little bit, and just keeping the other team guessing. And a lot of this, I think, that we can't discount is the fact that the personnel is better. This team is much better than it was a year ago with Colin Miller, with Henry Okiharju, and, of course, with Marcus Johansson.
Lance, you mentioned the power play, and we know that a 60% power play rate is unsustainable for the course of the season. So what needs to happen with the Sabres in order for them to start scoring some 5-on-5 goals?
Really, it just starts with the breakout. They've struggled to get the puck out of their own zone, which isn't unusual this time of year. You're going to have it because you're playing different teams, different styles. You got to sort of get out of the preseason or training camp mode and get into the regular season. So it's really trusting the other guy they're skating with. You know, at times it seems like, you know, Jake McCabe, for instance, had a really strong first couple of games of the season, but didn't really know what to do with the puck the other night against the Canadiens, kind of buckled under pressure a little bit. That's sort of things that you can kind of clean up. I'm still not seeing, for the most part, the sort of 5-on-5, you know, mishaps that occurred under Phil Housley. You're seeing forwards getting back, you know, to support their defensive more on the breakout. They're not cheating up in the neutral zone like they did repeatedly all of last season. So there are signs there. And you're seeing how Colin Miller has really helped Rasmus Dahlin. You're seeing how Henry Okiharju's helped with the breakout. But now it's getting four lines rolling consistently every night, and I think that you're starting to see signs of that with not only Eichel's group, but Johansson's group with Jeff Skinner, and of course the fourth line, quote-unquote, has been really good. But now they want to see that from Casey Mittelstadt and Jimmy Vesey, and they need to start really being able to cycle the puck consistently, because even when one line has a bad shift, they can sort of throw off your 5-on-5 game a little bit, because then you get hemmed in your own zone.
Lance Lisowski, Buffalo News, our guest here as the Sabres tonight, hosting the Florida Panthers. Lance, you know, here in Rochester, we're all kind of following Victor Olofsson and, what is it, four straight games here, a power play goal. But I kind of noticed the other night that in the third period they were double shifting Skinner right at the end. So tells me maybe they're, you know, well, I guess he's Jeff Skinner. You want him out there as much as possible. But what's the early review here so far on the season for Victor Olofsson?
They love, obviously, what he's done on the power play. How couldn't you? And he has shown Ralph Kruger that that he is a good defensive player, that you can rely on him to play, you know, in tight games, in important moments. But right now, Victor Olsen, I think the one thing he needs to do better is just passing the puck. You're not seeing really sound execution. He's committed some turnovers, particularly in the neutral zone. When you're playing in a one-goal game, you really can't afford to do that sort of thing. So he's sort of feeling it out. Of course, that's not something that you should be too concerned about, because he still has that really nice chemistry with Jack Eichel and Sam Reiner. But I think that late in games, when it's close, especially if it's tied like it was Wednesday against Montreal, I'm not going to be surprised at all if you see Jeff Skinner get some offensive zone starts with Reiner and Jack Eichel. And that doesn't necessarily reflect negatively against Victor Olsen. It's just trying to get your three best players on the ice, try to get possession of the puck, and try to capitalize on opportunities.
Lance, it's so early in the season that I don't want to overreact to anything, but there was a specific play early in the week that I really wanted to see how Jack Eichel would respond to, and it was basically the play that cost the Sabres the game in Columbus in overtime, where he just got out-hustled by Foligno on a puck that led to the game-winning goal for the Blue Jackets. Well, all he did was respond with a massive night against Montreal, two goals, Jack Eichel, you know, showing through his actions more than just his words that he is truly the leader of this team. Talk a little bit about how he has played through these first four games. I got to imagine, save for that one play against Columbus, that everybody that watches him has to be impressed.
Your captain needs to set the tone. There's no question about it. You saw that Nick Foligno did it in Columbus, the way he played for over three periods. He was just relentless. And that's something that Jack Eichel, you're seeing him start to do. You're seeing him really play the way that Ralph Kruger wants to play. And it's one thing for your fourth line to set the tone, which they have. And I hate to call them the fourth line because they're being used more like a third line. But Larson, Okposo, those guys have really shown their teammates the blueprint. But you need that to come from Jack Eichel, and he showed it, in my opinion, against the Canadiens. And I like the fact that Jack Eichel, even after the win, after he had, two goals, 4 points, he points out a turnover he made late in the third period against the Canadiens, that he said is pretty much inexcusable. So there's accountability there, which doesn't surprise me. It's like that's just, that's sort of Jack Eichel. He holds himself to a high standard. All those guys, who are that great of players do. And I think you're really seeing his game, him take his game to another level, which, of course, you saw that goal when he went in a one-on-three and managed to score, which is, you don't see a play like that very often.
Lance Lisowski, Buffalo News, is the Sabres tonight taking on the Florida Panthers. And, Lance, I look at the win over Montreal, and people could say, well, it's not one of the top teams, but that's certainly one team you got to get by. I look at Florida being in that same boat. So what do we know? We know there's been some changes for Florida. What do you think of this opponent the Sabres are facing here tonight?
They're going through some growing pains, some serious growing pains, the sort of stuff that I thought Kruger would deal with more of at the start of the season. Joel Quenneville backskated his group the other day. They're really struggling defensively. They'll find their identity. I think they're pretty deep, but I'm not buying them as a playoff team quite yet. I still think they have a lot of holes, particularly maybe in their bottom six, but we'll see. I mean, Joel Quenneville's teams, they play tough. They forecheck strong. And let's not forget, the Sabres have really struggled against the Florida Panthers in recent years, and this Panthers team is obviously a lot more talented than the ones they've had in the past. The Sabres are 2-7-1 in their last 10 games against Florida. If you want to make the playoffs, you got to beat the Florida Panthers. You got to beat the Montreal Canadiens. And this time of year, as much as you're not going to play your best hockey, you got to collect points. That's what it's all about. So you can't win the division in October or November, but you can certainly lose it. So they need to put themselves in a good position and keep this going a little bit. Try to just collect as many points as you can while you're learning a new system.
Lance, when the Sabres announced their opening night lineup, I think the collective groan you heard from Sabres fans was looking squarely at that second line and the presence of Vladimir Sobotka. Now, it's been one game with the Amerks for Tage Thompson this season, game-winning goal in overtime, and a lot of people would say that Tage Thompson probably got hosed and deserves a shot with the Sabres this year. Project out for us what you think Tage Thompson's trajectory is for the 2019-2020 season.
If he stays in Rochester, he's going to have a huge year. He's NHL ready. The thing about Tage, which is sort of unfortunate, is that the Sabres need, their preference is to probably have Tage stay down there unless they have more of a skilled player go down with injury, whether it would be, let's say, Evan Rodriguez, for example, or Connor Sheary's down now. But if, let's say, you know, Kyle Okposo or Vladimir Spolko go down, they're not going to bring up Tage Thompson. They're going to bring up somebody like Curtis Lazar, somebody who could forecheck, strong defensively, because they don't want to put Tage Thompson in a position where he's on a line with two guys who aren't strong defensively. You're just not – Tage Thompson won't be able to use his skill to the best of his ability because they're not going to forecheck well. You're going to see much of the same that you had last season. I think that it's great for him to go down there, learn under a good coaching staff, play important minutes, you know, top power play, get that confidence going, because it'll help him build off of what he had going on this offseason when he gained a bunch of weight. I think he's in a great place. I don't think there's anything wrong with him going down there. He certainly played well enough to make the team. It's just that the makeup of the roster right now is keeping him down there. He'll be up, though, certainly, you know, sooner or later, because the talent is there. I think he's ready to really take that next step. Now it's all about that opportunity opening up.
So should we expect a move here in the next week, knowing that Connor Sherry went from day to day, now he's week to week with the upper body, and you've got that West Coast trip coming up, Lance, where, you know, sometimes, you know, it's not a throughway drive here. So what you're saying is if the Sabres do call up somebody, it's going to be perhaps Lazar here. Should we expect a move here after the weekend?
Yeah, they're going to let Rochester play their games this weekend, and I'm sure they're going to evaluate how everybody performs and maybe base their decision off of that. You're exactly right. I don't see it being Tage Thompson. I see it being more of a Curtis Lazar or even Remy Elie, somebody who can serve as that 13th forward. You're hoping that they, you know, whoever it is doesn't necessarily have to play, and that your team plays well enough. You don't have to disrupt the mix, but you can't go out in the West Coast with only 12 forwards. I know they're okay about doing it to finish this homestand, you know, and possibly, you know, that includes Monday. But we'll see. I just think it's going to end up being Lazar. It's a guy you can bring up, play center wing, you can slot him in at any time, leave Tage down there, let him continue to work with his line mates, continue to build confidence. And they want him, when he does get called up, to have that opportunity to really shine and not be an extra.
Lance, we look forward to seeing Linus Allmark between the pipes tonight for the Sabres. When last we saw Linus, I think he stopped 40 against the Blue Jackets, albeit in a losing effort. Break down that performance by Linus, and break down the performance of both Linus and Hutton so far this early, this young season.
I think the biggest thing that you saw through the first two games in particular is the Sabres weren't allowing many scoring chances from the slot. They don't have an elite goaltender, okay? I think Allmark and Hutton are very good. They can be very good, but they're not going to, you can't rely on them to stop, you know, 20 shots from the slot. I mean, the Canadians really were able to get into that right area and get scoring chances. That's not the way the Sabres can play, okay? When they get those chances, they keep them to the outside. Hutton and Allmark will be successful. They're good goaltenders. You're seeing, the one thing I've seen out of Allmark is just the technique is more sound. He doesn't look as jumpy in net. He's not so quick to react, tracking the puck better. And a lot of that is having a goalie coach like Mike Bales. And they're just in the early stages of this working together. I think that when you hire a goalie coach like Bales, he's going to maximize the potential of a guy like Linus Allmark. And this is a big year for Allmark. This is a prove-it year, okay, after he gets that contract in the offseason. He needs to show the Sabres that he can be part of the solution long-term, because Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is going to be on the ice here probably, 3 weeks to a month, you know, if all goes well. That's what the projections are. He's knocking on the door, so this is Allmark's time to show that he can be a starting goalie. And I like the sort of dynamic there with Hutton, who's more of a who's a leader, who's been there, and he's very open with working with Allmark, so it's a really nice relationship. And I've liked what I've seen out of both of them so far, as long as the Sabres play well defensively in front of them.
Lance, I think every time we've talked, somewhere along the line, Rasmus Ristolainen, that topic has come up, and we haven't asked you a question like that, so here it comes. Ristolainen, the early returns, and you know, if the Sabres are going to make a move at some point, what do you think the asking price is right here and now, or what is the market value for Rasmus Ristolainen?
I think Ristolainen's been mostly good. Yeah, that turnover on the penalty kill against Montreal was horrible. I'm sure he knows that. That's something that I'm sure was addressed immediately by Steve Smith. They can't have that. You can't afford to do that. That was a dumb play. Ristolainen knows better. He's played enough games. But 5-on-5, I've liked his game. You're going to see him probably start to get more involved in the rush, but I like the fact that he hasn't been too engaged. He's really focused on his defensive game. I haven't seen any real egregious breakdowns 5-on-5 from him, which is a great sign. It's great. I'm seeing a more consistent physical presence on the ice, because that's what the Sabres need out of him. They need him to be a force out there. That's when he's at his best, when he's engaged physically. He's not going to be traded anytime soon. I know there's teams out there that need defensemen, but the asking price is going to be massive. Jason Botterill's not parting with Rasmus Ristolainen and for nothing, and no team is going to want to pay what he's asking for at this time of year. Maybe at the trade deadline, some things change. Of course, the Sabres are going to have sort of an issue coming up here once Montour and Bogosian return, because who that goes down, what do you do with those two? I guess we'll see what happens, but for right now, they have to like what they've gotten out of Ristolainen under Coach under Ralph Krueger.
Lance, what do you got working over there at the Buffalo News? What can our listeners expect to read from your work here over the course of the next few days?
Well, I'll share one with you guys. I was actually in Rochester on Monday. I talked to a couple of the Swedish guys. I wrote a story about how all the Swedes have sort of worked together to help each other off the ice. The Sabres have, they have five on the NHL roster, which is tied for the most in the NHL, so I just thought it was fascinating. Linus Allmark had all eight that were at training camp over for tacos at the start of camp. So I talked to all those guys. So that'll be a fun story in Sunday's paper. And I'm heading on the West Coast next week for that trip. So it'll be a good time.
Tacos. Did he make them?
Huh? Yeah, yeah. What a bunch of Swedes eating tacos.
Tacos are popular in Sweden, guys. I had no idea they are.
You going to tell me that if you go to Mexico now, they're going to start serving lutefisk and lefse? Come on. What are we talking about here?
I Googled. Apparently, tacos became popular in Sweden in like the 80s or something. And now it's like, yeah, it's you know, I think they have them on Fridays, though, not Tuesdays. So it's a little different over there in that regard.
Love it, Lance. We'll look forward to reading that. Safe travels, and thanks for everything you're doing covering this team. Lance Lisowski, the Buffalo News. Have a great weekend, bud.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.